Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got TJ Erickson from Park Rapids, Minnesota, back on the show. It's been a little bit since we've had TJ on. It was open water, I guess you'd say, last time we talked to him, and I can just never go too long without talking to TJ. He's a good friend of the crew, and he's always doing a ton of fishing, making content, so there's always lots to talk about, and he's just one of my favorites all time. So it's great to have TJ back on the podcast. Let's get to it. Are you looking for the perfect winter getaway? Look no further than Minnesota's own Lake of the Woods. Welcome to the walleye capital of the world, where the next hook set could be a big walleye, a delicious sauger, a giant pike, or a state record burbot. But it's not just about the fishing. From cozy resorts to unique bars on the ice, Lake of the Woods offers winter fun for everyone. Plus, the resorts and expert ice fishing guides up there are ready to make your experience easy and unforgettable. Discover the magic of Lake of the Woods. Visit lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Zooloft Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area with over 40 years of combined experience. They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. With a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products, that's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zooloft Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zooloft Construction at their website, zooloftconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast. Twin Island Sleepers is located 14 miles north of Williams, Minnesota, on the Long Point shoreline of Lake of the Woods. Twin Island Sleepers offers a deluxe ice fishing experience where you can spend day and night in a sleeper fish house. They have offerings of 4-person sleepers all the way and up to 8-person. So if you're a small group or you're a big group, maybe it's family get together or something more corporate, these fish houses offer fantastic amenities to be fishing all day and then spending the night in comfort. Check out everything they have to offer at twinislandsleepers.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Preparing for the upcoming ice fishing season means making great gear choices that will help you maximize your time on the water. That's where Summit Fishing Equipment comes in. The trusted choice for anglers who demand reliable, affordable, and top-quality forward-facing sonar gear and accessories for all the major brands, including Garmin LiveScope, Lowrance Active Target, and Hummingbird Mega Live. Check out their bestseller, the Summit HD CNC Shuttle. It's designed to protect your expensive electronics from harsh winter conditions while keeping everything portable for easy transport. You could pair that up with the lightweight yet robust carbon fiber ice transducer pole and the versatile Summit bag to complete the setup. Crafted from advanced carbon fiber, this forward sonar pole is not only incredibly strong, but also the lightest on the market. Their offerings don't stop at just poles and shuttles. Summit Fishing Equipment offers a full range of bags, mounts, and accessories to customize your fishing rig to your exact specifications. So whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, Summit has what you need to improve your experience on the ice. Explore Summit's collection at summitfishingequipment.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Summit Fishing Equipment is also on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. All right, TJ, man, I haven't had you on yet this winter at all. So let's get updated. What have you been up to? I mean, I stay pretty much on top of your YouTube stuff, but, you know, admittedly, it's not always 100%, and I'm guessing you do a fair amount of fishing and some that doesn't always make the screen. So get us a little bit sort of updated in detail, and I'm sure out of that basket of stories, we can find some pretty awesome stuff to talk about. So get us up to speed, TJ.
You bet. Well, thanks again for having me on, Taylor. Like I said, always enjoy chatting fishing with you. It's a good time. And yeah, it's been, I think I talked to you last fall, if I remember right, talking some walleye stuff. And since then, I don't think we had filmed the Walleye Cup, me, Nick, and Brett, but I don't know if we had posted it yet. So since then, we kind of posted the Walleye Cup stuff. That was a ton of fun. I did kind of a one that I didn't even film. I filmed a fall trip up on Rainy Lake. Or I shouldn't say I didn't film a fall trip, but we went and fished, and it was so fun. You know, we had a couple 30-inchers. We had lots of fish from like 27 to 30. It was just a super fun doing a big suspended pattern. Probably the most notable thing in December, me and my wife welcomed our first baby into the world. So
Yeah, man.
naturally, that's been a little bit of a game changer as far as life goes and schedules go. And so when you're talking not filming everything, now it seems like whenever I get a chance to get out on the ice, like I'm going to be filming mostly out of necessity, because when I can get out, you know, we're still in school right now too, so that adds a whole layer of complexity. So I gotta make hay while I can. But other than that, it's been a fun ice season. You know, we talked just a touch earlier, like a lot of things have been going, and it's been going good. We've got good ice, we've got good conditions. I mean, it's finally like a good winter, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
And
yeah.
I have there's a little part of me that's like, oh, that means more people are gonna be fishing, that means more pressure. You know, I like when I can only get out my snowmobile and other people can't get out, you know. That's all a little bit selfish. But for all intents and purposes, it's been a great winter. The bite's been good. You know, ice fishing early, I especially hit a lot of walleyes hard early. That's my typical pattern. I try to do a lot of stuff locally in December and even a little bit into January. So hit the walleyes pretty hard there, doing just a variety of things. And one of my things that I want to do early this year was just go to a bunch of these like random little lakes. Like maybe you can't get to them with the boat because there's no like boat access, or there's like kind of off the beaten path, and just to hear some rumblings about. And so I tried a bunch of those out this early ice time frame, and struck out on half of them, and on a few of them did really well. So that was kind of fun. But then also started transitioning to a little bit of panfish. So I did a lot of crappie stuff, especially chasing a few bigger crappies around. Talked a little bit, you know, filmed one video on like a day bite versus night bite, just kind of showing how they transition. You know, because sometimes people either have like a night bite dialed in for the crappies, or they'll have a day bite dialed in. And just kind of, it was really cool being able to use a live scope and just show how these groups are like so tight in bunches during the day, but then they spread out over the basin at night. So that was kind of some fun stuff that we did a little bit there for some of the panfish. And then more recently, it's been, I went back home the other weekend to visit family, do some birthdays. And then with that, obviously, I grew up in Roseau, so Lake of the Woods is kind of my home body of water. So we went up there, me and my dad snuck out for a day to do a little fishing, and that was kind of a cool thing. We were just about to go out the night before, and I was laying in bed. I'm like, I just want to look at the map a little bit. So I started looking at the map, and okay, Lake of the Woods is my home body of water. I fished everywhere from the northwest angle to War Road to Long Point, you know, all over the lake. I don't fish the east side quite as much, but still fish over there a decent amount. And there's not a lot of water that I'm unfamiliar with, I will say, you know, even with a massive body of water like that. I've just spent a lot of time out there. But I just was like, I don't know. I just want to find something different. I can go fish some of the same stuff and catch fish, and this will be great. Probably what I should do when I want to film a video, but I just love to explore. So as I was looking at the map, I found this just little small spot that looked like this has some different contours here. Nothing drastic, but just little. And I bet that's like some rocks or a little bit of a mini reef type thing. I was like, that could be really good. It's like perfect depth, you know, tops out in mid-20s, deep water around. And I was like, I told my dad, I was like, that morning, he kind of looked at me funny. I was like, hey, so I found a new spot that we're gonna go try. And he's like, what? And you know, because we don't have a lot of new spots on Lake of the Woods. And so we get out there, and I don't see a track, I don't see a hole, which if you're familiar with Lake of the Woods at all, you know that like doesn't happen. There's so many people that fish it in the winter and have access to all parts of the lake now with the roads and things like that. So I was like half really excited, like, oh, this could be really good, these are unpressured fish, and half like, maybe there's a reason there's not people here, you know. And so we start fishing. Wasn't great. I just took a lot of time during the day to kind of hole hop. So I was like, I want to find the sweet spot. That's like always been my thing with structure. Like, especially in the winter, it's so important to find the sweet spot, because that could easily like double your catch rate if you find like the right spot. So I found a few areas that looked really good. There was a few fish, maybe caught a couple, but nothing like, this doesn't seem quite it. But then there was like this small contour change on this little hump that I went and set up on, and me and my dad. And then I went to actually go scout a new area. I left my dad, scouted a new area really quick, and it just wasn't happening. So I came back, And I get back, and my dad's just laughing. You know, he's just catching fish left and right. I was like, okay, I shouldn't have left. And so then I proceed to set up my house, and it was just such a fun day. You know, I don't get to fish with my dad nearly as much as I would like anymore. And so being able to spend that day with him, fishing a brand new spot on a lake that we fished our whole lives, and just catching a bunch of fish. And like the average size was much better too. You know, it's not hard to catch, say, 50 fish in a day on Lake of the Woods, but oftentimes they're 11 inches. And we did catch a few of those too, but a lot of the fish were that, you know, 14 to 17, like those really good eaters. We had some in the 20s. Like it was just a super, super fun outing for, you know, the 2, 3, 4 hours I ended up fishing. So that was a really fun trip, you know, hitting up Lake of the Woods a little bit. And then a little bit more recently, probably two weeks ago, I think, one of my favorite things to do, as it kind of gets to be this like February-ish time frame, I start to transition out of a little bit of walleyes, especially locally. Unless I'm going to do like a destination like Lake of the Woods or something like that, I'll kind of transition a little bit out of walleyes, and I'll either do panfish, or my favorite thing to do this time of the year is lake trout. And you know, anybody that has fished lake trout through the ice, it can pretty quickly become an addiction. Like I don't talk to many people that have fished lake trout through the ice, and they're like, yeah, I don't really want to do that again. You know, most of the time when people don't like lake trout fishing through the ice, it's because they haven't done it. And so got a chance to do a little lake trout fishing recently. Actually, me and a couple buddies went up into Canada, where there's some little lakes. There's so many lakes up there, you know, and not necessarily little lakes, but we're like kind of in a little more remote area that we wanted to go try. And you know, there's no cabins, there's no resorts, there's no outposts on a lot of these lakes, and so we wanted to get up there. So we actually went up and did some ice camping. And so we went up there, stayed for a couple nights, and fished some new, this was all new water to me. One of the guys had been up there before, but we had some good fishing as far as numbers, decent average size. And man, I don't know if, like I said, if you've ever fished lake trout, I know we've talked about this before too, but it's just catching one in a day is like makes the day. You know, they're just so fun. So that's probably been the most recent thing, is doing a little ice camping up there. I did one more ice camping trip as well, probably maybe December, for some walleyes, fished some deep structure and caught some nice big walleyes on some structure. You know, one was middle of the night, so that was a ton of fun. So that's kind of been my update as far as since the last time we've talked.
And I definitely, I want to kind of where you ended there with that ice camping. I want to dig into that a little bit. I got some questions for you, but just getting your update there, you know, like a year like this, it's fun to hear kind of just where you've been and how you've been kind of picking your fishing opportunities. 'Cause like not every year you can really necessarily dictate the, you know, your opportunities like this year where, you know, you can kind of pick your poison. Do you feel like that's how you would describe your ice fishing sort of strategy, if you will, just from like what your motivations are? Or, you know, I mean, you're a YouTuber, you know, some things are more popular than others, you know, it's like for you, how do you sort of balance that from, you know, like that professional eye where you're trying to do something that maybe works, you know, with the content, but also like the things that you like to do, like picking where and when you want to go.
Yeah, that is a tricky one. And it's funny you mentioned that, because when I was going up to my little backcountry lake trout trip, I was listening to the podcast, and when you had Hayes Baldwin on, and I just thought it was such a funny terminology, you know, the fishing gypsy. And I feel like in my heart, that's what I am. Like I just want to catch and chase everything. Like I don't care. Now, that doesn't always bode well as far as content goes. And walleyes definitely have been my primary focus, and like I love the challenge of walleyes, especially on these clear natural bodies of water. So it's just super fun that way. But sometimes I feel like I have to do that out of necessity, because I love chasing everything. So when you're talking content, kind of my approach, honestly, I like chasing early ice walleyes because that can be some of the best bite of the year, and they can be shallow. They can just be doing so many things. This year, I'm not really sure why I got the bug to just like go check out these random bodies of water. Part of it was, you know, we were going to be having a baby at any time. So I didn't know if we were going to be having a baby early, and I wasn't going to get any early ice. So I was trying to find like the smallest, littlest backcountry lakes, just because they'd be freezing first. You know, which can be kind of a fun little advantage too. Like some of these lakes are only getting 5, 6 feet deep. And I'm like, there's not walleyes in here. And then sure enough, you're catching walleyes. And I'm like, this is bizarre. But so I would say this year, half was curiosity and half was just out of necessity. Like I needed to get some content in before baby came. And these are the only lakes that are frozen. Instead of going to maybe some of my most popular favorite bites, I maybe might have to wait a little bit longer to get on some of those bodies of water. So this year is a little more out of necessity versus curiosity, but man, I just love adventure, which is can be hard to couple that with needing to create content. Because if you've ever been on adventures before, you know half the time they will not pan out into any fish, and it's hard to do that and take a day when I need to get videos done and not catch anything. But the adventure is still fun. So yeah, I would say more so out of necessity this year for me than my typical early ice. Although every year early ice, I try to get to some smaller bodies of water just because they freeze first and they can be a fun little bite. Well, and I'm like super ADD, so I have a tough time, even if like I know there's a consistent bite. Say there's a weed edge bite, and I could go out there and guarantee I was going to catch three walleyes or five walleyes, which, for a winter ice fish, that's a great day. I half the time would rather go out and try something different and strike out, then go out and okay, I caught those three walleyes. Just because, I don't know, I have a tough time doing the same thing. I have a tough time sitting still. I have a tough time with all of that, and I just love to explore. Like I said, that time with my dad, yeah, we are crushing fish, so obviously that helped. But just like fishing a brand new spot like that and it paying off, oh, that is like one of the coolest things for me, is trying something unique or trying something different or a different spot and having it click. Because that, like I said, it happens infrequently, you try a lot of things that don't pan out.
Ice camping, I want to dig into that with plenty of time to talk about it, because I feel like one of the things that I want to talk is just kind of your experiences with it and some of your opinions on where ice camping is like, kind of a really cool fit as far as opportunities go. But I also want to talk about your gear and your setup a little bit, because I definitely that anytime we do any content that's ice camping related, we get a ton of questions on that. And there's so much room to talk in that arena. And so for you, I kind of wanted to give you plenty of time to pass along some of your good advice or just some of the fun, cheese a little bit over some of the fun, gear mods or just the setup that you have for your ice camping. So we can kind of start wherever you think is the most appropriate, but that's kind of what I wanted to cover with you.
Yeah, no, and me and my buddy Nick, you've had him on the podcast before too, but we had this conversation not too long ago where, like, honestly, half the fun of ice fishing is fishing, and the other half is just like getting your gear dialed in, whether it's like a Smitty sled that you're getting to pull out, or whether it's whatever it is getting the right gear and getting little gadgets. There's so much of that with ice fishing. And so I feel like that really plays into effect when you're talking ice camping, because if you've ever tried it, you have to be pretty dialed in. Don't get me wrong, if you can like drive to a spot and you can just have your pickup loaded with stuff, like, okay, it's not maybe as complex. But for me, where I'm doing ice camping, I'm not just necessarily doing it to do it. Obviously, it's a popular thing to do on YouTube, so it would be easy to just do it for a video's sake. But a lot of times, I'm doing it for a purpose, in the fact of either there's an area that I'm getting to. Like, for example, when we were lake trout fishing, there was no place we could have stayed on that lake that we were fishing, or there was, some of these different situations like that. Or maybe it's a long snowmobile ride and I do not want to have to make this snowmobile ride every day. Whatever it is, like, there's some necessity and some just some little things that are so helpful about ice camping, like waking up on the spot. Talking about that lake trout thing, I've always been a believer that, like, you know what, I've never had a lot of luck early and late for lake trout. It's always been like your banker's hours. That's a pretty common thing, at least for where we're at. I know way up north in Manitoba, they can get some kind of unique night bites. But for the majority of the waters that we fish, even somewhat close to the States, there's a lot of daytime bite. And I actually caught, a couple lake trout, one before sunrise and one after sunset, which doesn't happen to for me super often. So that was kind of cool. Like, I might not have been fishing those areas if I hadn't been ice camping, And like the first one, I was woke up in my sweatpants and, oh, here's a lake trout. And I love to run and gun for lake trout. So I'm used to, like, in order to catch lake trout, you got to be bundled up. You got to be ready for the elements. And here I am sitting in that. So there's a, it's kind of a cool aspect. I mean, and it's cheap. You know, that's a, I shouldn't say cheap, because all the gear does take some money, but a lot of people have that gear already. Where, don't get me wrong, I love supporting resorts. I love going to resorts. But if there's a situation where you're like, I want to go spend a weekend with the kids, and I don't want to pay $500 for, you know, a resort or whatever. I can't do that right now. You know, you buy a few things and you could go ice camping for multiple nights or for however long you want, for however long you're prepared for. So that's kind of a cool aspect to it. But the other thing, kind of like I was saying with baby, I can't necessarily schedule out my trips as much as I used to, you know, especially in this newborn stage. We're, you know, just figuring out day by day what's happening. And so being able to have a time, I'm going to go run up to a lake quick. There might not be any resorts that are open. You know, like I'm not going to be able to even have a place to stay. So now I can stay in my house, and it's a kind of a win-win being able to do that last minute. But when you're talking kind of gear stuff, this year I really, you know, a lot of people, and the ones like videos and stuff you'll see, they camp out of their hub houses, which is awesome. Don't get me wrong, I love it. So much space, you know, especially depending on the house you have. You can, it can be so much space. But for me, I am so, like, I need to be efficient. Fishing for me, since I was a little kid, like I was always, the first thing I do is I drill and I get a line in the water, because I could, you know, you never know when that 30 incher is coming. I'm gonna get a line in the water, and I'm not taking my line out of the water until every other piece of equipment is put away. You know, like I'm all about efficiency. I don't want to waste time doing anything. And so if you've ever set up a house for camping with like some of those foam tiles piecing together, it's a process. You know, it takes some time. And I'm just like, I don't have the patience to do this if there's gonna be any fish that could potentially be biting. Like I want to fish. So this year I actually did something a little bit unique in, not that it's been not been done before, because there's obviously a lot of these things have been done before. I used to fish out of my flip over with a cot. That's been done quite a bit, and it's super nice just to be able to flip it over instead of pulling out the hub house. And if there's wind, all those kinds of things are so much nicer to fish out of the flip over for. Although, you know, you do have a little less space. But this year I was kind of doing some looking. There's some Facebook pages, ice camping or trick your trap, or some of these different, you know, gear mod Facebook pages. So I was kind of doing some looking on there, getting some ideas, and kind of stumbled upon a combination of ideas to make my flip over fish house into a kind of like a sleeper, you know, essentially. And it's nice because it's essentially a board, a sheet of plywood across it with some 2x4s. I have an otter lodge, so there's a support beam that already goes across. So it works out pretty slick, and it's on a hinge. So I can lift it up, fish in my normal chair if I want. I can just flip it down and I'm ready to fish. Pretty much as soon as I flip my house over, I could sleep, I could fish, I could do whatever, and it's so convenient. And so that was really cool. I'm not going to go into too much detail because it's really hard without the visuals. I have
But
all
that
those
was it.
videos.
You said it's an otter lodge is the fish house that you've been
Yeah.
modifying this year. Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate that just in case somebody does want to look up, you know, think about like the size and scale that you're talking about. But
Right. And so for me, I'm 5'10", and I would say the otter lodge, I wouldn't want it any shorter. You know, if you're any bigger than me, you might want to think of like a resort. Or some of those other fish houses that are a little bit longer. You know, so I fit in mine, but it's not any too long, I will say. But yeah, super, super nice, super convenient. And the other thing I did is a couple of years ago, actually 4 or 5 years ago, those foam tiles, you know, that you like piece together, I ended up like cutting some of the ends and taping them together. So it's just one big floor, and it's like accordion fold, sits right on top of my fish house when I'm traveling. So it keeps everything in. I can strap it down, and it's just super easy. I just pretty much unfold it and it's ready to go. It's got spots for holes. Just again, that little piece of efficiency. I'm all about efficiency. So honestly, when I pull up to a spot, all I need to do is pull that out, drill my holes, flip my fish house over, and I'm ready to sleep. You know, it's crazy efficient. But little things, and I don't know if this is where you want to go next, Taylor, but there's just some like little things that I suggest if you're thinking about ice camping to bring or to do that I pretty much bring with me every time, or little things that I've found or heard from other people that have been like super helpful. that I wouldn't want to go without.
Check out Shipswell Resort on Lake of the Woods in northern Minnesota for your next ice fishing destination. Their lodging options are fantastic for small groups, all the way on up to bigger groups like family get-togethers or maybe a corporate outing. Enjoy the comforts of one of their heated day-use fish houses spread between the Morris Point area and the Long Point area as well to give their guests the most options and opportunities to cover the big lake and to stay on fish. Head to their website, shipswellresort.com, to check out their photo gallery and all their ice fishing packages. That link is in the description of this podcast. Zooloft Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area with over 40 years of combined experience. They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. With a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products, that's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zooloft Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zooloft Construction at their website, zooloftconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast. Preparing for the upcoming ice fishing season means making great gear choices that will help you maximize your time on the water. That's where Summit Fishing Equipment comes in. The trusted choice for anglers who demand reliable, affordable, and top-quality forward-facing sonar gear and accessories for all the major brands, including Garmin LiveScope, Lowrance Active Target, and Hummingbird Mega Live. Check out their bestseller, the Summit HD CNC Shuttle. It's designed to protect your expensive electronics from harsh winter conditions while keeping everything portable for easy transport. You could pair that up with the lightweight yet robust carbon fiber ice transducer pole and the versatile Summit bag to complete the setup. Crafted from advanced carbon fiber, this forward sonar pole is not only incredibly strong, but also the lightest on the market. Their offerings don't stop at just poles and shuttles. Summit Fishing Equipment offers a full range of bags, mounts, and accessories to customize your fishing rig to your exact specifications. So whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, Summit has what you need to improve your experience on the ice. Explore Summit's collection at summitfishingequipment.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Summit Fishing Equipment is also on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Are you looking for the perfect winter getaway? Look no further than Minnesota's own Lake of the Woods. Welcome to the walleye capital of the world, where the next hook set could be a big walleye, a delicious sauger, a giant pike, or a state record burbot. But it's not just about the fishing. From cozy resorts to unique bars on the ice, Lake of the Woods offers winter fun for everyone. Plus, the resorts and expert ice fishing guides up there are ready to make your experience easy and unforgettable. Discover the magic of Lake of the Woods. Visit lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. You definitely do this stuff way more than I do. We do it a little bit, you know, sometimes out of complete necessity for work and stuff like that. And so, you know, and a lot of times we're kind of knuckle draggers here at JMO. So we forget and don't do a whole lot of things. And then we fail to remember what that is the next time we got to do it. So we make mistakes over again. But yeah, dude, if you got a that would be so awesome. Like a list of your, like the fine details, the recommendations of just things to never forget or just ideas to have, has to be a big part of this conversation.
Oh, for sure. And like I said, I feel like there is something like innate in like the whole ice camping thing. I just remember like as a kid, always wanting to like make a little fort, whether it's a snow fort or an inside, like there's just something about that makes you feel, I don't know, primal or like, you know, this is what just roughing it. And you see all these like bushcraft and all these different people on YouTube and they are just getting millions and millions of views. And that's not because millions and millions of people are like doing this. They're not going out in the Alaskan wilderness and staying for 7 days, but like, it's just such a unique and like, you want to feel like, yeah, I could survive out in the wilderness. And obviously this is much more luxurious than that, but there's just, like I said, it connects to that something that's been in us, I think even as younger people. So, yeah, I'll kind of talk through. I actually do have a list in my phone that I like wrote out, I don't know how long ago, and I just kind of add and detract some things. So I can touch on some of those as well. Just some of those things like, oh yeah, I need to remember that. And so as far as like your essentials, when you're talking ice camping, obviously you need some sort of house, but that's going to be whatever style preference. If you're doing it for more than one person, I would suggest, doing that hub house and figuring out the size and some sort of bed, whether that's a cot. That's what a lot of people are using. There's even like those, they call them like disco beds that are like a bunk bed cot. They're super cool. But what I did for mine, like I said, I put that board across my tub of my flip over shack, and I bought a memory foam mattress topper and doubled it up. So now it's like 4 inches of memory foam. So I'm not super roughing it out there. Like it's
That
actually pretty
sounds
comfortable,
awesome.
And so that was a pretty sweet deal. So you have your house, you have your bed. The other thing that's pretty much a necessity I've seen people do without, but it is those foam tiles or some sort of flooring, whether it's for warmth, but also just for not getting that moisture on the ground. Being able to have some sort of base layer, because a lot of times now I can like I have my insulated Crocs on when I'm in there most of the time. I don't have to have my boots on. Like it's just super nice. But kind of going along with that is I really like to use those milk crates. One for storing gear. I'll use them to put in my fish house to store as I'm traveling from place to place. But then I take them out and I actually flip them upside down, and that's what I'll put my heater on. Because if you've ever ice camped, one of the worst things, even just fishing for the day. That water, that melt that's happening, and it's usually right by your heater, and it can be a mess, and it's just not fun. So getting some of those milk crates are dual purpose for storage, or you can flip them upside down and you can set your heater on it and get your heater off the ground. So it doesn't have to be those, but those are just something that's really nice. But get that heater off the ground so you're not getting a lot of melt. And then having some sort of fan as well, because now that the heater's off the ground, now that bottom 3 feet is going to get pretty cold because that's where the ice is. That heat's not getting down there. So I just bought a little fan. I think it was off Amazon even, that can like run for however many hours. It clips onto my bars in my fish house and it just blows that heat down. Because otherwise your feet can get pretty cold. If your heater's up off the ground like that, your feet can get kind of cold. So that is another thing. That's not maybe not necessarily a necessity, but that is going to add to your comfort level a ton. And talking like a little bit of safety stuff, carbon monoxide detector, obviously that's number one. You can just use pick go to a hardware store or whatever, pick one up, but there's some really cool little ones on Amazon that even say things like the humidity, or they have the temperature on there, and they show you the actual numbers of, like, I don't know what the numbers are for carbon monoxide, but it shows you so you can see if they're starting to be a little bit or not. So that's really convenient too, and just gives me a little more peace of mind. But I always like to put that near my head when I'm sleeping, because if you have it too high or too low, it might not be getting necessarily an accurate reading for where your head is actually going to be at. But do that and make sure you have your vents open as well. Otherwise, like lights, that's a big one. In actually one of my first videos this winter, there are these little lights by that I got at Menards actually that can clip. It's like they were made for it. They clip onto the pole of my flip over shack. They're really bright. They're super nice. I don't use them for filming as much because they create like little lines. You know how that goes, like depending on the frequency of the light on my camera. So I don't use those. But there's a lot of really good lights out there. Like Otter has those lights. Clam has the Aurora lights. Those are the ones that I've been using most frequently. They just brighten everything up. So having some sort of lighting in there is big. There's so many LED options right now, that cannot be too hard to find. Some sort of cooking gear. Those little they have like what they're like a little cooktop that can just go right onto the buddy heater. So convenient. You don't have to bring a whole separate little cook thing. You just put that right on top. And I try to plan all my meals so it can just be like reheating things, whether it's like a soup or just brats or something that you can just reheat. So then I don't have to bring a whole separate cooking, whether it's a burner or whatever. If you're going to cook fish or something, I would bring a burner because the one on top of the buddy heater doesn't get like hot enough to really get oil ripping. But that's just a little bit of some of that cooking side of things. Any sort of like hooks that you can get that like clip or that hook around the poles to hang up your jackets, because obviously things are going to get wet. When you're out drilling holes all day, your bibs are going to get frozen on the bottom, especially like when we're hole hopping like trout fishing like that. They're going to get frozen. So being able to hang those up and let them drip and get down the hole. Another super nice thing. Actually, the other company called Arc Lab, they have these shelves that they made for flip over shacks, and I got a couple this year. Those are super nice too. I didn't realized like how convenient that would be. You know, there's all these like center console things which are super nice that either Otter makes or Clam makes or whatever for storage. But when I have my bed down, you know, I can't access those. So there's like shelves that go onto the poles. That's really nice. Just as another little like kind of camping essential type thing. But then the other thing you have to think about is some sort of power, depending on how long you're going to be out there. You know, if you're not filming videos, if you're not, you might not need a lot of power. You might just need enough to do your lights, and that might be it. You know, for me, I'm filming. Sometimes I'm recharging my live scope, all those kinds of things. So think about what you're going to need for power stations. You know, I ended up buying a big one this year. I have like a, it's essentially equivalent to 100 amp hour. It's one from Amped Outdoors. It's like a, it's a big one. That's how you bring that on all my camping trips, and you might be a little overkill, but I don't want to run out of juice when I'm up there because obviously I'm doing it to be to get some videos, and if I run out of battery, that's going to end the day pretty quick. So some sort of power, whether it's a big power station or just those little small power packs to kind of plug your things into, that's really nice. Another like small thing that has been a lifesaver is Ziploc bags for everything. I put like all my stuff in Ziploc bags, whether it's paper plates, plastic, whatever it is, throw it in a Ziploc bag because then it's not going to get wet. It's not going to, you know, malfunction. I throw all those things. Even in the boat, I'll do that. You know, if you don't want things getting wet in the rain, or if you've ever been on a camping trip, just throwing things in little Ziploc bags and then you have them if you need them for a garbage. Or I bring a lot of like plastic shopping bags too. You know, you can never have enough of those. Just keeping stuff, you know, waterproofed. The other thing that I did buy this year that I kind of modified was I bought a little rattle reel for my fish house. Now that I'm doing more overnights, like I want to be able to fish. Like that's one of the big reasons. I want to be able to catch a fish while I'm sleeping. And actually one of my trips, I think I mentioned that earlier, I caught like a 25 and a half inch walleye middle of the night. Really hard to get back to sleep after that. But I was like, man, I'm so glad I decided to get this rattle reel. And I just got put that on a little clamp so I can just clamp it to any of my poles and have it go right down. Although little side note on that, when we were up lake trout fishing, I put a big Cisco down there, just thinking, you know, a big 40 inch lake trout's gonna come eat this thing off bottom. I don't know if they were perch or what they were, but something kept picking at like the belly of it in the night. So my rattle reel would go off every once in a while. My heart would get pumping, and then it would just be something little pecking at it. So I had to like tighten down that rattle reel a lot because that can be annoying. But the other thing, this can go into a little more safety type stuff. Obviously, have any buddies with, or extra, if you don't have a buddy with, have extra of everything. You know, one of the guys we were with on our camping trip, his heater kept going out in the middle of the night. And so he, the next day, he went to get his backup heater. So, like, have backups or everything, or at least go out with multiple people. Don't go out by yourself if you don't have extras, because that can get dangerous pretty quick, especially if weather's not favorable. But otherwise, I have a lot of like little tools. I'll put like a hammer, some sort of like crescent wrench, screwdriver, just like your basic stuff, some sort of lighter, a little first aid kit. Those are just all nice things to have. For if you're driving a snowmobile, make sure you have extra oil. You know, you don't want to run out of that. Extra belt for your snowmobile, spark plug, just all those like backup things. Have some sort of strap because luckily this year hasn't been bad, but some years the slush gets so bad and that can put you in a world of hurt real quick. The other two little things that I do put in there as well is I'll do the, you've maybe seen this, like a little red can called Heat. That can be really helpful because sometimes you get like some sort of, you know, condensation in the line and it freezes and it can freeze a fuel line or something like that. And I'm not a mechanic by any means, so take this all with a grain of salt. You might be shaking your head, but we've had to do that on trips up north. You know, a lot of this comes from, we used to do these trips in the Northwest Angle all the time growing up. So we would be like, you know, anything that could go wrong did go wrong. So having some of that heat and some starting fluid, just some of those little things can get you just up and running and be ready to rock in the middle of Canada, you know, or wherever you're at, because a lot of times you're in these areas that aren't super convenient. And the last little safety thing that was really cool for me this year, have you seen that they're doing some of that, like, I don't know if it's like beta testing of the satellite texting? You can like
Oh,
send messages via satellites.
yeah, like satellite communication on your phones, on the newer iPhones or Sam, yeah, maybe all of them.
Yeah, so it used to be like kind of like the Garmin, like inReach and some of those, which was super nice because obviously with a newborn at home, like this was my first time being away overnight, and I'm like, okay, I want to keep checking in, making sure everything's going okay. And So we get up there, and obviously we're in the middle of Canada. Like, I'm not going to have service, but there's satellite texting up there. So that's another huge feature to look into if you have a new enough phone, or just kind of see how it works. Because even for safety purposes, that can be huge. If you can send a text like, hey, I'm stuck on such and such lake or wherever, that can truly just save a life. So that's cool that they've been doing that. So look into that too. If you're going to do something off in the middle of nowhere, that is definitely something. So yeah, that was a lot of rambling
No,
and a
man, that's
lot
the
of
juice
gear
though.
stuff.
I love it. That's the juice that, like, maybe not, not everybody's going to, take every single piece away, but if they take one, if like one thing, there's gonna be one or two things, that you're referencing there that a light bulb's gonna go off. And again, like when you get, a little bit more dialed into these things, it becomes more of an opportunity for you. It's not necessarily that you're trying to be a minimalist. You're trying to be practical. And really, you bring as much as you possibly can. There's no reason to like leave a space open.
Yeah, before my first flip over camping trip this year, I think I had my just flip over shack set up in the garage for a week. And like when I would have time, I would just go out there and like try to get some stuff set up and organized into different spots to be where do I want to set stuff? Where do I want to put it in this in the fish house? Where do I want to? And I do have like a second sled too. So I do daisy chain a second sled so I can put some of that other gear. So I never want to be short of space. My snowmobile can pull it, so I'm not worried about that. But a couple other tips that I did think of as we were talking, and this one can be big, not for the moment, but after, is, and this is just general fishing too, not just ice camping, but when you're banking your house, do not use the slush from your holes. That can be, and but that also can go along with like the whole keeping the heater up off bottom. So when we were up there this last time, my buddy Jeff and I don't know if it was as much slush from his holes or if it was the heater kind of melting the by the door too, but some of this it stuff got frozen down and oh man, we were just about to pack up and we look and we're like, oh no. So we had to like chisel out the ice off of
Yeah.
the tarp for and I was like, so that is just one little thing is make sure you're keeping an eye on that if water's getting in there. 'Cause sometimes too, like, water will just come up in the hole. And so that'll be the second tip is like don't just have a spot unless you're like super dialed in on an area and you're like, this is the spot on the spot, this is where I'm camping. Both times that I've camped this winter, I have taken the day to kind of run and gun. And I am like, I don't want to set up in a spot that's not, where there's not fish. And so I took the day to like explore, find a spot, whether there was fish there or whether it was just the stuff that I'm looking for. Take a time to kind of run and gun and then like drill your holes. If you're seeing water coming up, don't set up there.
Yeah.
Like if you're like my buddy Kyle, that happened to him, unfortunately. Like he started setting up his house, and I don't think he realized it right away, but there was like a little bit of water. Luckily, it wasn't a lot, but like then his foam mats were like, just squishing a little bit, and it was just like, oh, so that was kind of an unfortunate thing. And so those are just like little things. Take that time to find a good spot first, so you're not just sitting there, because especially if you're camping in a hob house, like you're probably not moving. Once it's set up. For me, it's a little easier with my flip over to move, but it's kind of a bugger to set up at times. So take the time, do your due diligence in finding like just a high traffic area for these fish before you even think about setting up.
I'll be the first one to admit, I can get a little bit fatigued on some of the ice camping content that's on YouTube, but I really like yours and your brand of it, where you're very intentional, and you seek it out for what it can be, that it creates opportunities for you to go places and fish, either where there's no other place to stay, or you can just be somewhere longer or during the right bite windows, buying that rattle reel that catches you at 25 and a half incher. It's like, man, that might be the biggest one you ever catch on that rattle reel, but man, that rattle reel doesn't owe you a thing after that fish.
Right.
Like the rest of its
Oh, I'm
life, it doesn't owe you a thing. That's like one fish that'll just, man, that'll just make your trip and kind of make your winter in that regard, where it's like, that's a fish you otherwise wouldn't have had. And
right.
it's a great fish. So it's like, man, that can just be, I mean, I could just think of, if I was on my home body of water back in Minnesota, like if I caught a 25 and a half incher ever through the ice, I mean, I'd certainly consider getting a replica made, but it's like, that would just be, oh my gosh, that would just be an unbelievable fish catch. And it's like, if those things happen at the middle of the night, those fish are doing that in the middle of the night when you're home in bed sleeping. So if you want a shot at it, you got to be out there. You got to be doing it. You got to have a rattle reel down. You got to be prepared.
Right. Well, that's the thing is like, so perspective is so much, kind of like what you were sharing. So much depends on, everyone always asks like, well, what size is a good mounting size for walleyes? And everyone's very quick to like give their opinion on everything nowadays. Like, oh no, that's too small or that's too big or whatever. But it's like, so much of it is perspective. You know, that lake I was on, a lake that has big fish, I caught a 28 incher, you know, that night on the night bite. And it was just like, perspective is such a big thing with fishing, and people can really steal other people's thunders really quickly, which is the good and bad. This is obviously a little side tangent, but it just made me think of it when you were talking.
Oh yeah.
You know, oh yeah. If you're on, depending on the body of water you're on, like people always say, ask me my opinion on it. And I was like, it depends on where you're at. Like some days when we're having like crazy days, say we're up on Lake of the Woods or Rainy Lake or some of these big fish fisheries, or say you're on Lake Winnipeg, like you're catching 26, 27 inches. And like when the bite's on, you're like, okay, there's another one of those. Like might not even take a picture. And then there's days where you catch a 24 incher on a body of water and you are like, this is amazing. I didn't think I could catch this big of a fish out here. You know, so it's perspective is everything. And obviously some of us get to spend a lot of time on the water. And so we get a little jaded at times where if it's, you know, you haven't had that many big fish experiences, like don't take that away from anyone is what I'm trying to say, because that's, I mean, whenever you were at whatever age it was, when you were catching a 20 inch walleye or 24 inch or whatever it is for whatever species, you got to have that joy, you know, and where you're at, like, don't take that away from anyone. Again, this is a little side tangent, but that's just something that kind of bothers me.
Oh yeah. Dude,
you kind of steal other people's joy, you know. Comparison is definitely the thief of joy, and fishing is one of the worst for it.
Well, you're always welcome to go on a tangent on this show. So that, you know, you don't have to do it on your YouTube content and screw up the algorithms with all that negativity. But this is a perfect place. I think a lot of people can relate.
I get enough negativity with my live scope footage and that kind of stuff.
I bet.
So fun.
What a mess. Yeah. Oh, that's good stuff,
joys.
Man. Man, well, I love it, TJ. We're so good on time here, but I like getting the updates from you and hearing where you've been and what you've been up to, and just kind of, you know, if anybody ever wants to follow along, I mean, we've promoted it a million times and we'll continue to, but you know, your YouTube content is phenomenal, and most of what you've been doing, if not all you've been doing this year that we're talking about, you know, you can get an up close look at it over there. I just like the chance to kind of talk about it and kind of get sort of that in-depth look into it. And I haven't talked ice camping yet this year, and I don't know if I'm going to the rest of the year. So it's great that we were able to kind of cover it with you. And I like your brand of stuff. Again, I'm just kind of repeating myself, but I really like your brand of stuff. And if it's something that you're doing, I know that you're doing it very meaningfully and thoughtfully. And, you know, you wouldn't be throwing it out there if it wasn't something that you'd done before or believed in. So, you know, taking it to the bank.
Right. That is a hard thing. That can be a hard thing doing any sort of content creation is like, obviously there's so many of these trends or so many of these things. And clearly right now ice camping can be kind of a trend, and it can be kind of a, I don't know if cringy is the best word, but you know, there can be some content that don't care to consume or whatever it is. But yeah, the way certain people can do things, I still, whether it's a catch and cook or, you know, all these things that just get so much action. There's definitely still validity at times as well. But it's you got to toe that line for sure. And one thing I did want to mention before I forget, and I might be a good time to do it here, is there, I might be having a little bit of transition here. If you're like going to be searching for any of my content or any of my stuff, I should have done it a while ago, but I need to do it here soon. I'll probably be transitioning out of my TJ's Guide Service name on my content stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And just kind of transitioning most of my stuff to TJ Erickson, just because I'm not guiding anymore. You know, I stepped back from that when I started hitting content a lot harder. And so still getting a lot of calls, a lot of things. And not that I don't want to like make sure people are set up with great guides. I have no problem doing that. But if time is of the essence right now, or there's never enough time. And so just wanted to give people a heads up that might be coming down the chute. If you're searching for TJ's Guides Service and you don't see anything, it might be just under TJ Erickson, just on all these social stuff too, because that's transition that should have happened a while ago that I've been kind of dragging my feet on.
Well, we've got a little following here, so if you when you make that transition, we'll share all your stuff and we'll do that call to action, because we don't want people to lose track of you, and as many people would be paying attention to you, they'd be doing themselves a favor. So don't mind saying that. So yeah, when we'll keep our eyes out, but when you do that, shoot me a text and we'll share that to our audience in every way we can, just to keep everybody on track with you. But
you bet. No, I appreciate that too. And yeah, we do have some more fun stuff coming down the chute too here. I know I shared that with you a little bit, but we're hoping to do kind of the next, I guess you would call, season of filming a walleye cup here in March. And we'd like to do one, maybe two open water as well. Me, Nick, and Brett just have such a fun time doing that. Who knows? We may add others at some point too. But just, we love competitions. We love shooting them. We love watching them. And so that might be another thing coming down the chute. Otherwise, we're going to be probably hitting some lake trout, maybe once more at least through the winter, hitting some burbot, hitting some panfish for the rest of the winter here. And then, I don't know, I'd maybe try to sneak out on some early stuff if it's maybe going to Green Bay again. That was a ton of fun last year. Going to Rainy River when it opens, or who knows, going to one of the pool two or pool four or something like that. Who knows? That's kind of what we got coming down the chute here. So it'll be, I don't know, this is the time of year where I start getting ready to, other than some good burbot fishing, some good lake trout fishing, I get ready to get back in the boat.
Yeah, it's almost, it's like boat rigging season, man.
Right?